Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have Mikey and John joining me to discuss yet another win. Illinois 26-9 over Nebraska at Memorial Stadium. I saw the boardroom tweeted something about us playing like seven of our first eight games at a Memorial Stadium between Indiana and Nebraska being both road games this year, and obviously every home game being at a Memorial Stadium. So we're the king of Memorial Stadium this year, I guess, if you ignore what Indiana.
Yeah. The Indian. I was laughing.
So I guess we're not the king of Memorial Stadium.
Well, somebody tweeted back at them and was like, "No, they didn't. Like, no, we haven't." And I was just like, "Oh man, like they don't mean like
just right over there." Yeah.
I was just laughing at that. But Dan, I know you are still in Great Mexico enjoying the trip. So thanks for joining us. How was your experience watching the game?
Oh, so you guys will enjoy this, but I found out, I usually watch on YouTube TV. That's what I have. I don't have cable. So I went to pull up YouTube TV, and it's telling me you're not in the country, so, like, show your location. Your location's out of the country. So I'm like, okay, how do I get around this? Like, do I just try to find a stream? So like, no, I heard about these VPN things. So I found this VPN service, and I got a VPN, and I changed my IP address to say I'm in the United States so I could watch. So all of a sudden, I could see everything on YouTube TV except local cable channels like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. I couldn't watch any of those channels, but like ESPN, Big Ten Network, all those other channels were completely fine. So I'm like, oh, of course, the one game Illinois is on ABC is like the one time I'm out of the country and can't watch this game. So I ended up finding a way in through like the ESPN app, and you could still, because ABC is affiliated, I was able to watch through the ESPN app, but it was still cut out at this resort I'm at a couple times. So there were times where the funniest one was the Sidney Brown interception. The ball gets like batted way up in the air, and it's like coming down, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden it freezes. I just see a screenshot. I see a screenshot of a ball just like way up in the air and Sidney Brown peeling off his man. And I'm like, I'm trying to calculate in my brain, like as it's paused, what the angle of the ball coming down and what the angle Sidney Brown is taking if he'll get to the ball in time. And it buffered for like 40 seconds and it never went through. So I ended up backing out and refreshing the stream, and all of a sudden Illinois had the ball, and I was like, okay, so I guess he picked it off, and then I saw the replays later of the play. But that was the funniest one, was a Sidney Brown interception where I was just sitting there for a minute like, I think he's gonna pick this, but I don't know. And I was getting texts from people like a minute in advance as to what was happening, but it wouldn't necessarily be direct. It would be like, oh, like ha 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 ha, and I'd be like, okay, so is that good or is that bad? So at certain points, I just kind of turned my notifications off so I wouldn't know. And then I'd pick up my phone after the play, and I was like a minute behind everyone. But it was an interesting experience. I'm just glad we came out with a win, and, you know, 7-1. We say it every week, but Mikey, that 12-0 prediction is just better and better by the week. And I can't believe it. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm, that's quite a story there, Dan. It's tough to watch games when you're on the road. I've been in your shoes before, not out of the country though, so that's new. But you know, whatever you can do to get some sort of stream, and it sounds like you figured it out. But no,
I mean, 1-7 or 1-6, I might not care as much to pull up a stream. But when your team is 6-1 and still in contention for the Big Ten West for college football playoff, like, I'm not going to miss this game regardless of where I'm at. I'm going to find a way to watch it. So even if I'm sitting poolside with my iPad and on a VPN server saying I'm in the United States, even though I'm in Mexico, like, I'm going to find a way to watch that game. So
do what you got to do. But no, I mean, it was, after about when it was 9-6 Nebraska, and then we scored it, we just dominated the rest of the way. which seems to be a very common theme for this team. You know, it's close early, you know, teams hang around, but then we just find a way to, you know, not make mistakes and put the team, the opposing team in bad positions and capitalize off of them. And, you know, I thought on all three phases, the team played extremely well. But one player I do want to highlight is Devin Witherspoon. You know, he shut down Lil Spoon. He shut down their main guy. It's him, Quan Martin, and Sidney Brown are just so much fun to watch. They're seems like they're just flying all over the field. People, they'll make a catch, you know, on a drag route, and those catches used to, you know, get caught at the for 4 yards, and the guy would run it for 25. Now they're getting caught at 4 and tackled at 4. So it's cool to see those guys play with the correct angles, you know, use their athleticism to, you know, not make good plays turn into great plays for the other team. And, you know, overall, we, you know, the offense did what they had to do. That's something, you know, John, you and I talked about a lot. It's just complimentary football. And, you know, that's definitely what we saw on Saturday. And one other thing, you know, I do want to highlight or talk about is after the game, you know, our team wasn't jumping up and down celebrating. And I loved that. I mean, getting a win is extremely hard, but for a team to have that, you know, that, you know, like we've been there before mindset was pretty cool to see, you know, especially, you know, a team like Illinois, who's not had the best track record the last 10 plus seasons, to feel like they're in a place where, okay, we beat a team that we're supposed to beat. It's on to the next one.
Yeah. The fact that the expectation now is for us to go out there and like take care of business is just wild to me, because of the fact that I feel like we're not necessarily skipping steps in the progression of like heightening the floor of this program, but we're just like blowing by like what you'd think, like, okay, yeah. Like you were saying, like, you know, maybe it takes a couple of like tough losses to then realize that we have to win a certain way. It's like, no, this had the makings of a letdown spot. And it kind of looked like that through the first, let's call it quarter and a half, where it wasn't necessarily shaky, but it looked like, okay, this might be a test. You know, Nebraska's offense was looking somewhat efficient and getting a few things done through the air and on the ground. And the guys just bowed up and took care of business on defense. And I think some people will look at the, you know, the final result and say, oh, well, you know, Nebraska didn't have their quarterback for, you know, a half plus and whatnot. And I understand that, but at the same time, like, one, it's kind of comes back to Mikey, you and I were talking about the chicken or the egg with the DBs and the D line. It's like, yeah, you need that elite defensive line pressure to get that kind of play. And yeah, you obviously never want to see a guy get hurt, but you got to play with what you got. But at the same time, the defense was also seemingly figuring it out too, in terms of, you know, causing errors for Nebraska and all that. But yeah, it's just to get back to the overall general point that you're making, Mikey, like the fact that, yeah, it's just the expectation now. Like, I'm not necessarily, we can obviously talk about Michigan State on a later date, but it's just like now you start to build in like, okay, yeah, these guys are playing like they're expecting to win. They're not playing like some young pups who are just like new to winning. And that's wild, because obviously the culture has been for so long that, you know, it's kind of this like in 2019 when we go to a bowl game, it's like this shooting star where a lot of variants had to go our way and a lot of fourth and bebes. And like, you know, you kind of just feel like, oh, this is like happening. And now it's like, oh yeah, these guys are just expecting you out there and take care of business, which is just, it's crazy that we're just kind of now sneaky, like a pretty dominant program in the Big Ten.
Yeah. We got to the point where, I mean, we were down early and typically, like you said, I kind of sweat that out, but knowing the way we've adjusted and our, you know, coaching staff has been able to adjust at halftime, I was never doubting that Illinois would, you know, take control of the game later on at some point. I tweeted out like a couple different ways, but Illinois has won 14 of the 16 halves they've played this season. They've tied one of the others. So they're 14-1-1 if you separate every game into two halves, which is extremely impressive. Indiana is the only half we've lost this season. But I just have so much trust in the coaching staff to make those adjustments. And, you know, even though, John, like you said, Casey Thompson goes down with the injury, and side note, but like Mikey, when I saw Chubba Purdy's name like roll up there, I was just cracking up because I figured how much you'd love a backup quarterback named Chubba coming in there for Nebraska.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah. Yeah. But, I think he's Brock Purdy's brother, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was getting a kick out of that, but obviously you'd prefer to beat, the starting QB, but the way the starting QB looks for Nebraska, Casey Thompson looked pretty sharp early. I was, hope he's okay, but I felt much better when the backup got in there, and our defense seemed to really, lock down on them from that point forward.
Yeah. I mean, injuries happen. It's football. One of you guys mentioned next man up, and that, injuries happen on every single team. Obviously, Dan, like you said, you would like to beat the starter who's in for four quarters, but, no one wishes for him to get hurt. It's unfortunate. We hope it's not anything too serious. But at the end of the day, I thought we played extremely well. Our defense just gets better and better as the game goes on. And that, too, goes to the adjustments. And then our offense just seems to do what they need to do. Chase Brown, another 140-plus yard game, which is becoming – it's becoming the norm, which is kind of weird to say because it's incredible what he's been doing, but we're just so used to it that, it's easy to talk about other players, but at the same time, still recognize that what he's able to do every single week against, I know Nebraska's not known for, having a great defense like some of these other teams that he's done it against, but still a Big Ten opponent. Going out there dominating, it's pretty special to watch, and a recipe that our team with the great run game and stellar defense has a shot at winning the West and playing in Indy on December 3rd, which is pretty crazy to think about.
I'm sure most people have seen it on Twitter, but obviously there's still some things that need to shake out to play 14 games this year, maybe even more. But thinking about the fact that Chase Brown is on pace to rush for over 2,000 yards and he's been so casual about it is just I can't quite remember a time where it's just been sneaky. I mean, I guess it's because usually you don't get leading rushers from non-premier programs, which I'm not trying to sell the boys short, but we're not considered a blue blood yet. And just the fact that Chase Brown's going out there and his usage rate is high. I understand that, but he's still not being inefficient with his carries. And just to go out there and be able to, pencil in, 125 plus, 150 plus yards from scrimmage, a touchdown or two, and him being so dynamic is just, and honestly, going back and watching it, the thing that I know that I said this earlier in the year in terms of Chase Brown masks a lot of the deficiencies of the offensive line. And I think for the most part, that was true early in the year. But the fact that you have such a, productive offensive weapon like that, I think it kind of helps the offensive line push through whatever, development curves they needed to get through early in the season. So now even a guy Zy Crystal, I feel like he's playing so much better and with a lot more confidence. And that's probably partially due to the fact that he's helping block for, one of the best running backs in the nation, if not the best running back in the nation. And so just stuff like that, where the team is really, coalescing in such a nice way and really coming together. I can't, and even Tommy DeVito, I'm sure we'll get into it, but everything just seems to be fitting. I love this team so much because they're so balanced on defense. All three levels have playmakers. They've got an efficient quarterback who's putting up very good passing stats in the Big Ten. They have a dominant Heisman contender at the running back position. They've got dynamic wide receivers. They've got a Brett Bielema-led, offensive line room that's going to churn out dudes. It's I'm not going to project in terms of what holds, but I just love how this team is playing right now.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of weaknesses. I'll ask you guys this. What, if anything, would you say is the most concerning, maybe aside from special teams, because I think we know we've had some special teams issues, but what would you say is the biggest weakness, if you want to call it that, of this team right now? Because I don't see a whole lot. We seem to be pretty competent in most areas, but if you just say this one thing is where we're going to get got somewhere down the line, what do you think it's going to be?
It's a good question, because on the defensive side of the ball, although they're not bad by any means, I would say the linebackers, but again, our defensive line and our secondary are able to fill in those deficiencies where they might be. Right. And we have, you know, great linebackers. So it's I don't know that they're the weak point. You could point to our tight ends, but again, they're not a focal point of our offense. So I don't know that it really is a huge negative in the end. Maybe, you know, the receivers, obviously Isaiah Williams, the Brian Hightower, and Pat Bryant. You know, I've spoken a lot about finding that number two, and you know, this week we didn't really have a number two. It was kind of just all Isaiah. So that could be something that hurts us against another good team, but at the same time, those guys have shown that they can be a reliable number two. So it's as much as I'd want to point to something and say this is our, you know, rotten apple or rotten egg, like I don't think we necessarily have one, because it's covered up with the stellar play that we have at other positions.
I am a bit worried about the blueprint that Nebraska kind of gave to other teams in terms of how to not exploit the defense, but where the potential holes could be in terms of, like, you know, spreading the guys out, getting people with the ball in space. I think there were like a couple screen passes that went for big hitters, and you know, they were kind of throwing it, and it takes, you know, a quarterback with exceptional arm talent to throw the ball to the far side of the field, to the sideline, or even just outside the hash on like an intermediate or deep route. And you're probably gonna get a good test of that, you know, against a Purdue or a Michigan, or, you know, hopefully an Ohio, or I guess we're not hoping for Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, but like they definitely would. And that's not to say that our defensive backs haven't looked great. I just think that there were a couple things that Nebraska's offense, in terms of it being one of the more, you know, spread them out type of offenses in the Big Ten West, that they kind of show that do concern me a little bit. But at the same time, like we saw, they adjusted, they came back and took care of business later in the game. So as long as Ryan Walters is commanding that unit, then I'm sure that the guys will make adjustments.
The only thing I would say in terms of like you guys said, there's not a whole lot. Maybe, John, to your point, Nebraska kind of showed other defenses or other offenses a blueprint of how to spread the Illinois defense out, maybe go a little more tempo and get us on our heels. But the only thing I can really think of is maybe the lack of explosive plays that our offense has had.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw one from Isaiah. He broke that long one. But like Chase Brown, you said, he's such a workhorse. And he puts up these big numbers, but it's never like, oh, a big 80-yard run or anything. It's like, oh, he got 15, then he got 18, then he got 7, then he got 5. And it's he kind of chunks his way down the field, but you don't get these massive explosive plays. And I think to make kind of a deep run, and you got to have a couple of those game-breaking plays that just quickly put 7 points on the board. So not everything's such – you know, so hard to get points on the board in a long, you know, strenuous drive.
You make a great point there, because, you know, to win 8-9 games in, you know, a conference like the Big Ten, you can do what we're doing. You know, we're showing it. But to really get over that hump and become an elite football team, you do need to have, you know, the big play capabilities. And that's something that, you know, like the outside of the one play from Isaiah, we didn't really have. It was just a lot of, you know, 5 to 10 yard chunk plays, which are great. You know, we'll take those all day long. But to really get over that hump and compete with a team like Michigan or Ohio State, you need to be able to score, you know, not with, you know, 12-minute drives, which will take all day. But the odds of those, of you putting those together back to back to back, are not super high, because eventually you'll make a mistake.
Yeah, and I think even to couple up with that, I know I said this on probably the last couple podcasts, but like the red zone issues, it's nice to have like only a couple things to nitpick throughout the given year in terms of our red zone efficiency still being kind of poor, in the sense of like we're still settling for a lot more field goals than I would probably like, because to beat those teams and to really, you know, obviously we control our destiny in the sense of like, yeah, if you go out and you win against a team like Michigan and you beat an Ohio State, then there's no way they can't put you in the college football playoff. But in terms of like getting to that point and beating those kind of teams, you're going to need to, you can't win with just field goals, and it works, you know, now. And once again, along the steps that we needed to take to get to the point where we want to be, I feel like we've just shot by a bunch of them. But at the same time, like there are still a couple more that we needed to take in terms of like, you know, being a dynamic explosive offense. And I guess we're probably getting a little greedy in this conversation in terms of being like, yeah, I want it all. But I mean, we're just speaking the truth in terms of, like, you know, things that we see that, you know, if we drop a game here or there, or if we don't ultimately, you know, win out, it's probably because of these things. And that's okay to bring light to.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at with my question. Is like, obviously we've been very good in most areas, and it's like, okay, if we think about other teams and, you know, how they're game planning, what are they looking at on Illinois' side as, you know, potential weaknesses or things to attack? And that's kind of the perspective I was trying to get into. But, you know, to our point, like, Illinois has been so good this year that there really isn't much to point to. And the things you can point to, you know, you said, like, maybe the linebackers are weak, but then the D-line's so good and the secondary can clean things up where it really isn't that big of an issue. But I just kind of like to think about everything's been so good. It's like, eventually, you know, we're probably going to have a team that exposes us to some degree. And I'm just curious where that's going to be. And that's kind of what was the incentive behind that question.
No, I think that's a great question. And back to, you know, our defense, you know, we play a very risky style. A lot of times our secondary is out on the islands, you know, but, you know, Spoon, those guys have played very well. But, you know, going against a team like Ohio State with three first round NFL talent and one guy, Marvin Harrison Jr., who I am calling now will be the best receiver in the NFL at some point in his career. I think he is a freak. I think he's a monster. And clearly everyone knows who his dad is. You know, it'll be interesting to see how we'd match up with our style of play against a team that is just weapon heavy like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to add. It's just kind of funny that the recap of Nebraska has gotten so, like, to the point where we're kind of even, like, projecting a little bit further out I feel like we've recapped this game now like five straight times or something like that. Like, we get out,
right,
we get a pretty big lead in the first half, and then we just, you know, put a chokehold on this team, on, you know, a quality opponent or what could be perceived as a quality opponent. And then we just, you know, like, the game ends and it's like, all right, we just kind of sneaky killed them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing too flashy. I think I saw a PFF when I was looking at it. DeVito only threw one pass more than 10 yards downfield. Like, everything else of his 21 of his 22 passes were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, which, I mean, I feel like at some points that's got to change because defenses will adjust. But at the same time, we've just been doing that all year, and, like, they haven't taken it away. And he's 20 for 22 and 100 and close to 200 yards, whatever it is. And he's so efficient, and we're able to continue to move the chains with Chase Brown, and Isaiah makes catches when he needs to, and everyone else seems to contribute. So we've been getting away with it. We continue to do that. But, like, if I'm a defense, I'm like, force them. I'm going to start pressing everything because Illinois does not throw the ball very deep down the field. So, and maybe that's part of the reason we're not getting these explosive plays, because we stick to that game plan and we just execute it.
Yeah, I think everybody's so worried about containing Chase Brown that, you know, and no one has proven to be able to stop it. I know he's had some incredible runs of, you know, 30, 40 plus yards, but a bulk of his runs seem to be between 5 and 10 to 12 yards, which will take all day long. So it'll be interesting because teams, you know, I thought he'd be stacking the box a lot more than, you know, we've seen. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, Michigan State, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because this is a recap episode, but it'll be interesting to see if teams try something different to try to shut us down, because it's really been a lot of the same and a lot of the same results on our end with, you know, talking about a win the next day.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to spoil some of my thoughts about the Michigan State matchup, so I'll just bring it back to you guys talking about Tommy DeVito. I think, I don't want to say my favorite play, but one of my, like, sneaky favorite plays of that Tommy DeVito was involved in was the awesome draw call that I love that Barry Lunny called that, in terms of, like, scheming up the draw. But then the fact that, like, I don't love that, you know, a late hit occurs out of bounds and he, like, goes into some of those equipment boxes, which, I mean, yeah, you got pads on, but you never know, like, the how hard or, you know, the metal on those things, if they hit you in a certain way, how badly that could hurt. I do love like a couple things. That one, that Josh Kreutz was like immediately up in that dude's face. I think he could have I think he could have gotten away with, like, you see it more in the NFL and like penalties don't get called. Like Aaron Donald loves doing this, but like he could have gotten away with like grabbing the dude's face mask and just pulling him in and like not pushing him or anything like that. But it's like kind of confrontational, but like you still like are kind of asserting dominance. But the fact that he didn't do anything other than just like get in the dude's grill, like stick up for his guy, but not do anything dumb in terms of like, you're obviously getting 15 yards after, you know, like a second and long that you just had, and they're being dumb, so there's no reason to also be dumb. But it was just also nice to see that like the boys were still heady enough to like obviously not just be like super, you know, quiet and be like, oh, I can't believe they hit Tommy, and just like let him be. Like they still stuck up for their guy, but to not be dumb and compound the mistakes, it's kind of like, I don't want to say antithetical to what we saw happen in the end of Michigan State, but those are the kind of things that like a Brett Bielema coach team, you know, doesn't let happen in terms of like guys getting, you know, they're not jawing too much or they're not making too stupid of plays, you know, outside the lines.
Yeah, that was another one of my favorite stream cutout moments. Was I saw that draw play, DeVito goes out of bounds, he gets shoved. I'm like, oh, that's a penalty for sure. And all of a sudden, I hadn't seen the flag come in, and then I see Josh Kreutz, just go over and just shove the dude. I was like, oh no, he's probably going to get a penalty now. And I saw like Dylan Davis was screaming at him. And all of a sudden the stream cut out as there was kind of like a little brawl going on the sideline. And I hadn't seen the flag yet. So I was like, oh man, I hope that's not going to be an offsetting situation. And then the stream cut back forward and Illinois was, you know, another 15 yards downfield, first down. So I was like, okay, we got away with that one. But I do love seeing the, especially younger guys. Like I saw Hunter Whitenack and I think Joey Okla maybe too was involved on the sideline, where they were all just kind of immediately swarming and standing up for their guy. So you love to see that. And in my, like, that was an awesome play. My favorite play, I think, of the game was Quan Martin's tackle on third and short, where he sprinted all the way across the field and mm-hmm. stuffed the dude. The guy caught it, yep. had space, and he just didn't let him get another yard. And like everyone's talking about the Quan Martin, like the fumble play where he picked a dude up, which was awesome too. But I think I was even more impressed with the play where he ran from, I don't know, he was essentially in the middle linebacker position and came all the way across, made a one-on-one tackle in space to stuff the dude short and force, I think they ended up punting it at that point. Mm-hmm. That was probably my favorite play of the game.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'll stick to the DeVito theme. A play that they actually replayed the game on ESPNU this afternoon, or later on this evening. And I was watching it, and as soon as I turned it on, it was a play where it was either third or second down. DeVito pulled it, was running right, could have thrown it to Pat Bryant, but there was a guy like 5 yards behind Pat Bryant, and he just pointed to the guy like, Pat, go block this dude. And took it to like 25 yards. And I love, for something about that play, I was like, that's a quarterback who's just, you know, playing with swag, you know, just out there, like, block this guy. That's all I need you to do, and I'm going to take it. And that's what he did, and scooted around the end for like a 25 or, you know, 20, 25 yard gain. And it was something little, but something that I really enjoyed and thought was a great, great play and great, you know, idea by Tommy, who was just Mr. Efficient this week.
As we wrap this one up, any thoughts? College football playoff rankings coming out here soon. Do we have any predictions where we think the Illini might sit in the first rankings?
I saw we're 13th in the coaches, 14th in the AP now. For some reason, I feel like we're going to be higher than that, like in a bad way. Like,
yeah,
past like probably 16, 17, 18 range. But we'll see. I mean, hopefully we're like number 11 or something like that, which would be sweet, but I don't see us being higher than where we're ranked right now in the coaches, just 13.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And honestly, I'm okay with that in terms of not getting too overhyped, because it's been mainly, you know, SEC teams, but even like Wake Forest was ranked number 10 and they got in like a real bad way. And like, it was like Kentucky and then Ole Miss. Like, it's not necessarily a curse, but like, I'm not going to say glad, but you just take care of the games in front of you, and you know, you'll hopefully be in that top 10 ranking in a matchup against Michigan, but I do think that, yeah, it'll kind of be the same because, I mean, that Indiana loss is not looking great in terms of just, like, you know, of all the teams. Well, I shouldn't say of all the teams with one loss, but, like, most of the teams in the top 25 with one loss, that Indiana loss has got to be up there in terms of, like, bad optics type losses. So I don't know if they'll necessarily hold that against us just because of that, or also if because we're Illinois. Once again, I don't really care, because if you go out there and take care of business, and I mean, if you win out, you're in the college football playoff. It's plain and simple, because you'll have wins over, you know, Michigan State, or yeah, you'll have wins against Michigan, probably Ohio State. And they just can't turn down that kind of resume, even with an Indiana loss early in the year, because they also don't penalize as much for early in the year losses as they do late in the year. So,
yeah, that's the one thing we have going for us. Unfortunately, Indiana loss looks worse and worse every week as they just continue to lose and spiral out of control. So they're not doing us any favors. But I know I've said this to you, but the Indiana loss, like, I don't know if we're at
no
right
way.
Now without losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay that we lost it. Like, if you played that game any time later in the season, I think Illinois wins by two or three scores. Like, if we were to replay that Indiana game right now, Illinois might win that game 37-7 or something, like a huge blowout. And I think Indiana fans would be like, yeah, we don't know how we won that game. But if you don't lose that game to Indiana, maybe we don't respond the way we do. So butterfly effect, and you never know what could happen. I'm not one to go change the past. It's frustrating that we lost it, but, you know, who knows if we're 7-1 and still alive. You know, you said we might not get penalized as much because that game happened so early in the year. I'm okay knowing that we have that blemish on our record, because we are where we're at now, and, you know, we still kind of control our destiny for pretty much anything you can imagine at this point, whether that's Big Ten championship or even a national championship.
Yeah, I think, just to put a bow on that, I think overcoming that adversity against Iowa and even this week against Nebraska, like, it's not that we were going to lose, but, you know, have them come out and, you know, give you a couple good punches in the first quarter and a half, and, you know, to rebound and, you know, make sure that they didn't score for the rest of the game. I think that that kind of shows the lessons they learned from the Indiana game, but I don't really know. Yeah, we don't need to get into all the hypotheticals. We just can go play the games.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Field Pass. You can follow us on social media. We're at The Field Pass. Appreciate everyone following along this exciting season. A lot more to come. We'll be back later in the week for a Michigan State preview episode. Thank you, and as always, go Illini.